Hi guys, I'm your host Kritika Singh and you're listening to It's Critical. This is the second part of the second episode with our guests Anika Verma and Lakshmi Ayagari. In the first part, we spoke about what violence is, what domestic violence is, how mental health of an abuser should be a part of our focus, how the survivor's mental health is also important to look at. And in this episode, we'll be talking about intersectionality as well as how impactful social media is in propagating the message and spreading awareness regarding mental health and domestic violence, and how vernacular languages play a big role. I hope you like the show. So now, as part of our last 2 to 3 questions, Anika, the next question is for you. What is intersectionality? And what role does it play in violence and abuse towards women, to be specific?
Okay, I recently did this really cool that you asked me this. So intersectionality is, firstly, we need to understand the history of the word.
Yeah.
In the 80s, there was this professor in the US, Kimberly Crenshaw, who said that when you talk about women's rights, when you talk about the second wave of feminism, you only talk about a certain kind of woman. Yeah. And in the US, it was always the white women problems. So the feminism always looked at what a white woman's experience of the world is. So she said that while the thing that connects us is our gender,
yeah,
the thing that also makes our experiences different is our race or our ethnicities or our the way we look. So and then she came up with this whole understanding and whole breakdown of the word intersectionality, where there is an intersection of your multiple identities, social identities that you hold. So under intersectionality, it's not just about being a woman, but you also need to understand, are you a Muslim woman? Are you a black woman? Are you a Latin woman? Are you a Dalit woman? Are you an Adivasi woman? So all of your other kinds of social identities, which are religious, ethnic, tribal, caste, class, sexuality, gender, everything sort of comes in. Because while it's nice to say that, oh, all women are women, you know, all women face violence, all that,
yeah,
but there are some women who face violence a lot more than the others,
yeah,
because it is not coming from the place of gender-based violence, but it is also coming from class and caste-based violence. It's also coming from religion-based violence, race-based violence.
Yeah.
So, understand, and it's not just for women, the intersectionality applies for every person.
Yeah.
It also applies on your age, that if you are a young woman or an older woman. Because everybody's experience would be different. And the problem is, we understand women as only one kind of person, entity, and everything that happens to her, matlab, everything happens to every woman in the world.
Yeah.
That's what a problem is when we, and that's a stereotype that gets built, and we need to understand those stereotypes also need to be challenged when you're talking about intersectionality as well. That when I say, as an upper caste woman, as an upper class woman, I don't think domestic violence exists. The thing is, I cannot say the same for all upper caste women and upper class women. The only difference is that if a woman of privilege speaks out, she may have a higher chance of being heard.
Yeah.
So if, say, somebody like me, while I can continue saying, oh, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But if, say, somebody like me goes to a police station and says this all has happened to me, the police can still file an FIR. But many times what we've seen on the field, if you're a poor woman, and especially if you're a woman of the so-called non-dominant caste,
yeah,
your FIR, like your report, is also not even registered. It's also because of, again, intersectionality.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of Dalit women in our country face sexual violence because not just of their gender, but of their caste also. The whole thing about that her body is disposable and can be used by anybody because she doesn't belong to an upper caste. That understanding also has allowed a lot of people to violate Dalit women every day. But the thing is, because it's so normalized, and it's not just about raping her, it's also about how you talk about a Dalit woman, also about how you address her, how do you represent her. All of this has to be understood when we're talking of intersectionality. And the thing is, it is all there. It's all about just opening your mind and being critical to seeing that it exists. So when you say how it plays a role in the violence against women, like I explained, one is you're not violent towards a woman only because of her gender.
Yeah.
It's also about where she's placed. So is she does she earn well? Is she an earning member of the family? So while you can, you will, like the person who has to abuse her will abuse her.
Yeah.
But the chances of her leaving are higher than the chances of a homemaker are. So this kind of intersectionality also plays out but the thing is, intersectionality, while it talks about individual identities, it applies to the larger society, which most people fail to see. People still think of violence as a very one-on-one issue,
yeah,
which it is not. It is socialization conditioning of many, many years. And because all of this comes into us through various means. Right? If you're born a man, you're given a certain kind of entitlement. You're given a certain kind of position in the society, which you do not realize because you take it for granted.
Yeah.
And because of that certain position, you're able to violate people who you feel are less powerful than you. Primarily your wife, your children, a person who's younger than you, a person who's of a so-called lower class than you, or lower caste than you. You end up doing all of that without realizing that you were sitting in a position of privilege. But the thing is, when you say that this guy had beat up somebody else or this guy was torturing somebody, we end up talking about just those two people without understanding the years of patriarchy and privilege that this person has enjoyed, and that's how it's also coming out. It's very complicated, and I know one podcast is not enough to sort of go into. Yeah,
but, that is why Anika.
No, but I mean, I'm sort of like done on the intersection. Like I said, intersectionality is way bigger than I can explain in one podcast, or we can go and explore in one podcast. But just the basic understanding that it's a hierarchy of social identities.
Yeah.
If we need to talk about it, we need to start looking at it from that lens. And there's the whole thing that we've all heard that, okay, I'll use a very simple example here. The whole idea of how I can go, like your domestic help.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
There is a clear hierarchy. You're an employer. She's your employee. You're of a certain class and caste, and she's of a certain class and caste.
Yeah.
You live in a certain society. She lives in a certain area, which is not like very privileged or very clean or... like all the stereotypes, I mean, but they exist.
Yeah.
Because that's the reality of our country. So if both of you are sort of together and you need to take a stand for her, you will be better heard than she would be. So, and this is something you can totally see. If she's facing some kind of an issue and you as an employer or as another woman go and help her, you will see that how like Mem Saab ki baat zyada suni jayegi and not of the person who's actually facing it. So there is an inequality even within women, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's right there. It's in your everyday life. So the point is, how can you still not see it? So intersectionality talks about that.
Yeah. And Anika, you rightly said that, you know, this podcast is not enough to, you know, get into the detail and deep dive into the related topics and concerns. So there's also something else that I'd like to do, which I'm doing for all my other episodes, which is after the podcast is, as the podcast is going to be out in the directories, there will also be an article that will go out on the website. And over there, I'll take your help and Lakshmi's help to, you know, put in some more information around these topics and some videos, some articles that can actually help the public to go and read more about it. And before we go ahead, guys, we'll do a small rapid fire round. And I'll ask one question to Anika first and then to Lakshmi. And these will be one words. Whatever comes to your mind, just, you know, share that thought with me. So, Anika, your first question is frog. First word.
Prince.
Lakshmi, sustainability.
Oh my God. Okay, this is my spontaneous reaction. Hard work.
Okay. Anika, want.
Desire.
Lakshmi, desire.
Oh God. Need.
Are you guys trying to finish the want, need, desire cycle over here? I think, Anika, the next one is sustainability.
Lifestyle.
Lakshmi, need.
Oh God. Need. Honestly, nothing comes to my mind.
Need.
Can I pass this on?
You can say mental health, therapy, you can say anything around that. Or you can
see, I'm on a hostel and my brain is just frozen.
Yeah, maybe you can say a phrase or sentence if you want to, but okay, I think I'll pass here. You don't get any marks here. Anika, desire.
Sexuality.
Interesting. Lakshmi, frog.
Frog, well.
Anika, money.
Empowering.
Lakshmi, money.
Need.
Anika, need.
Nature.
Lakshmi, want.
Want, desire. Okay, did I tell that already?
I said it.
Anika said it. Okay, so I think the entire rapid fire became like a frog prince and a well story. And let's see how it ends up to be when, you know, I close the research from all my rapid fire rounds and then what comes out of it. That brings me to the next question for Lakshmi, which is social media. And Lakshmi, how do you think with the work that you and Anika are doing, how impactful social media currently is for, you know, reaching out to more people?
I feel it is quite impactful. I keep sharing lots of mental health related posts and articles on my social media walls. And I write my own blog as well. And the way I have understood it, many of my friends and, you know, their friends, like, it's they are being actually educated from it. Yeah. Many a times we think, okay, they have gone to college, they have got these degrees. Probably these people must be aware of this particular scenario, like any mental health condition like PTSD or bipolar or something.
Yeah.
When I write something about those, reactions will be in immense number. They tell me many more things where I just think, I did really good thing writing about it or talking about it. Because many a times people do not understand that as we assume them to be understanding it. So regarding any topic, whether it be, you know, domestic violence or any issues women are facing or even it's a mental health condition, it's very impactful coming out and talking about it.
And I was reading recently that, you know, vernacular languages across the globe is going to be the main mode of, like, you know,
sharing content online by 2024, to be precise. So, Lakshmi, you have done some work with Breakthrough India, where you and Anika had collaborated, and you have spoken about domestic violence and mental health in Telugu. And also, like, you know, Anika, you have worked in the space where you have brought in other Indian regional languages. So how do you think, because as you said, like, you know, half majority of our country is still in rural areas, reaching out to them is equally important when it comes to talking about mental health or domestic violence. So vernacular languages, how much has that helped you in propagating the message, Anika?
Okay.
I think Lakshmi can answer that better, because she did this video for us in Telugu.
All right.
Where she talked about domestic violence and mental health together. But I'll just give you an example of what we do at Breakthrough and we're trying to push for. The regional languages beyond Hindi.
Yeah.
Because yes, in India, Hindi is supposedly, at least in the North India, it's supposedly, of course, the most spoken language, and people are trying to push it as the national language, which I do not agree with, because that's not the reality of this country. Every state, every region has its own language, and it's best to use that and not just use Hindi or English.
Yeah.
While we right now are speaking in English, I do realize and reflect on that as well. But if you talk, your communication can go in various ways, and that's something that one has to keep in mind. So our response, I'd say with Hindi, Haryanvi, Jharkhandi, has been that a lot more people came on board, a lot more people wanted to volunteer also. So that's something that really, really helps when you reach out in local language, because people feel a little more empowered in their own language.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of leadership we need to sort of foster, and not just go top down saying, no, but you have to speak Hindi, you have to speak English. Otherwise, you will not be heard. And this is why we need to sort of democratize communication also, and I mean communication for everything, for issues, for entertainment, everything. It has to be way more democratized than it is right now, and this Hindi position firstly has to stop.
Yeah.
But talking from a space where I am sitting, it's primarily Hindi, so it has online, it has shown a lot of, like, it has a wider reach. More people share it and talk about it than you know, people in English. And but the thing is, English also solves its purpose in a different way, because it kind of unites people across India, especially in the South, especially in the Northeast, where people can access English as well and not just. But the point is, your communication can't just be in one language and should not be in one language, and we need to accept and respect that about the country and its people. Because the thing is, you kill confidence when you talk in only one language, which is not of somebody's everyday life.
And it also shows, like, you know, that connectedness, like you said, that, you know, you've seen more people coming on board. So it is a sense of connectedness that they share. And eventually, no matter which language they choose to communicate with you, the idea is to make the other person comfortable. And if through your language, you can break that barrier, I think it's very important to look from a communication point of view, to look at vernacular languages. As one of my last question, from a mental health point of view, what is that one message that you would like to, you know, give to our listeners, and before we end the episode?
Thank you so much for this question, Kritika. One message I would give is, do reach out. If you feel you are suffering, you are affected with something, do reach out to the trusted people, whether it may be your friend, family, or anyone.
Yeah.
And if you feel any of your friends or extended family members or family members are not doing good, do reach out to them as well. Check with them. talk with them on a regular basis. And, you know, this sense of realization that we all are together,
yeah,
and, you know, we take care of one another while we travel is really important to have a healthier society.
True. All right, Lakshmi, Anika, thank you so much for coming on board and accepting the invite for the podcast. And I'll be sharing the helpline numbers just in case if someone who's listening to the podcast or to the video wants to seek help or to call someone in need. Someone when they are in need, I'll for them I'll be sharing the helpline numbers. In case someone wants to connect with you, I'll also be sharing your social media handles or the Breakthrough India's website details so that people can reach out to you directly. Lakshmi, I'll be sharing your social handles also so that if in case someone needs mental health assistance, they can reach out to you. So thank you so much for being here.
I hope by the time this episode is done, you will have some knowledge or understanding of what intersectionality means. And in case you would like to know more, I'll be writing a detailed article which will be there on our website www.itscritical.com so that you can refer to it and learn more about the subjects Anika, Lakshmi and I had a conversation around. In case you would like to share your feedback, suggestions and more, you can write to me at itskritikal@gmail.com. Please follow, subscribe, share and happy listening.